Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Jacob Young, you sweet prince. My son will ask me about once a week if Jacob Young can babysit him sometime. I've never actually texted and asked JY to do it.
What an amazing bit that would be, by the way.
It would be really
like,
funny.
Like if the Nats content team got a hold of that somehow and like actually arranged for JY to babysit your children.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fin. We are your pals and we're brought to you by Condori and Murad. They're our friends. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, they do everything. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, Terry McLaurin out. Will not play, did not even travel with the team today to Los Angeles. Maybe not shocking, but notable. He is not close enough that on Friday, it wasn't even worth bringing him out there to see how things were feeling as you get closer to Sunday. Which, number one, I think puts his status for next week at least in question.
Yeah.
If you're this far away, we said this with Jaden. Remember when they ruled him out on the Friday before a game and the first time he missed a game? Well, you can't possibly think he's going to be just locked, loaded, ready to go Wednesday to practice in full next week. And sure enough, he ended up missing a second game. I think it is very possible that McLaurin could miss next week. Now, we don't know. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but it's on the table. That's point number one. Point number two, how many years into the league is Terry McLaurin right now?
Is this year eight?
This is year seven.
Seven.
This is the first time in seven seasons that an injury has forced this player to miss back-to-back games. It has never happened before. Weeks after missing the entire camp, missing the entire build-up to the season, missing all of the practices that he did, with people saying every step of the way, your risk goes up for soft tissue injuries, your risk goes up to get hurt early in the year by not practicing. My point when people would say that was to acknowledge it, to understand it, to say, yeah, that's reality, that's what the numbers say. If it happens, we'll talk about it then. It has happened. It is time to continue to talk about it. We are going to be going into week number six, and he is going to have 10 catches or whatever it is this football season. It happened.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not telling you he got hurt because of that. I don't know. I'm not telling you he hasn't been more involved in the offense solely because of that. But I have this. For the first time in seven seasons, he is having his worst statistical performance when he's on the field, and he is more hurt than he's been at any point. I'm just presenting information.
Yeah.
It has happened. The fear of why you show up and why you do all the stuff and why you practice and why you get ready and him not doing it and what that could mean has come to fruition. It has come to our doorsteps now. We can't avoid it. He's missing another game. We're going to be five games in, and Terry McLaurin has not been close to Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I generally love being right more than anything on the planet. I don't take a lot of satisfaction in that, but that's the threshold I crossed before that second preseason game. Meaning there was a handful of days where I went, okay, you are now, even if you came back today, as I'm talking about Terry McLaurin, if you came back today, you'd still be too late to play in that second preseason game. No way you're going to play in the third. And remember, the Ravens backed out of that dual, the joint practice situation, which was, I think, a far bigger detriment than we probably even realized at the time. We made a big deal about it then. You have lost the ability to prepare adequately for the season. You are then putting yourself in a position, at best, to get off to a slow start. At worst, is this, and here we are. And I keep qualifying it over and over and over and over again. I'll continue to do so. We will never, ever know if this is he got hurt on a football play because it was a football play where he got hurt, or if he might have bounced back already had he put in all the prep time. It's impossible to say. Okay, none of us are doctors that have done the examination. None of us can go in with a micro camera and look at the muscle fibers and what they would have been versus what they are versus what they were during the injury. No one will have any clue. But the point is, there is a correlation. Other receivers got banged up too that were at all the appropriate stuff. This dance, whatever you'd like to call it, hold out, hold in. If you're cynical, call it a tantrum after a while. If you're the ultimate Terry stand, you can call it standing up for himself, whatever you'd like to call it. This was the risk. It has now happened, to your point. So I think it's okay to be like, hey, I'm a little irritated about that. That the guy that's making the most, who wanted the most, who wanted more than this and that and the other, is off to his worst statistical start and is now hurt. Whether that was the fault of the holdout or not, we won't know. I just know that it's happened and this isn't particularly fun.
In the Giants game to open the season, Terry McLaurin caught 2 balls for 27 yards. The following week against Green Bay, he had his best numbers. You'll remember, though, he caught a few balls. I'm not taking this away from him. I'm just telling you what happened. A few balls on that final drive of garbage time at the end of the game. And it was kind of lax defensively, and they're just throwing the football. And so that was the how many shrimp is Toby going to have to eat day, where he had to surpass Terry's yardage total against the Packers, and he got up to 48 yards in the second half with a couple of those garbage time catches. But he went 5 for 48 in that game. It was the third game and the last game he played against the Raiders when they won convincingly when he actually had 74 yards on 3 catches. And there was a 56-yard play. That was the one he got hurt on, diving into the end zone. He probably scored a touchdown. I think he got screwed out of a touchdown. They marked him down at the 1-yard line. And on a tackle, physical football play, he got hurt. Now, by definition, based on what we think the injury is, it is technically a soft tissue injury, but he got hurt via a tackle, and he could have gotten hurt on that tackle even if he showed up at camp and did everything. But here's the point I want to make. Take that 56-yard catch out of the equation, okay? Schemed up, albeit. A lull them to sleep with your running game, hit them with a little double move, like a sluggo type thing from Terry McLaurin. 56-yard play. You're talking about a 10-yard per catch average for him in the early part of the year. Like, when they got him the football, it was just kind of your quick, easy button, line of scrimmage throw on a screen, or 8 or 9 yard hitch stop route thing where you're turning around and looking back at the quarterback, and you're just trying to get the flow of the offense going for a few yards, like a handoff almost. That's what it was. It was 9 for 91 other than that one big catch. Now, it happened, and I give him a lot of credit. And he also should have had a much bigger catch than that. If you remember week one, he ran like a kind of a stop and start post type move where Jaden overthrew him by a mile on a play that they hit every single time in the second half of last year. Do you remember that play?
I do, yeah.
I think that play is probably a touchdown if he's at training camp too, but he wasn't, and the timing wasn't there. And so he was overthrown, not his fault. He ran a good route. He was wide open. So it's a dependent position. I'm not sitting here saying he's played badly. I'm just telling you that the numbers through 3 games were the worst that they have been in 3 games, and now, for the first time in 7 years, an injury is costing him multiple weeks. Hopefully only 2. Maybe it's 3. Maybe he's not there on Monday night against the Bears next week. I don't know. But I am annoyed. It's not personal. I'm not mad at Terry McLaurin. I'm annoyed that we're here. I'm frustrated by this situation. It had the possibility of backfiring, and I think it has backfired.
That's a good way to put it. My frustration is a little bit more annoyance at McLaurin and by extension, his agent.
Can I say why for me it's not?
Please, sure.
I just think it's the business of football. I think you did the thing that the player does when they want the money. You played the game. I'm not hating the player. I'm hating the game. So the thing happened. Peters is involved. Washington's involved. Terry's involved. Buddy Baker's involved. Everybody's involved. So they can all catch some if they want. They can all catch some. But it's not about him. I'm not angry at him. I'm angry at the situation. It could have backfired, and it has. We're going to be going into week 6 in this town, and your number one wide receiver with the $30 million AAV is going to have 10 catches through those 5 games of football, and he's going to have been not able to post the last couple of weeks. This is Mr. Durability. That was one of the big arguments everybody made about why you have to pay him. It makes it harder to be durable when you don't get your body ready.
The I just got to this point, I think, a week before everybody else. I'm not giving myself credit for it, but just basically saying, like, my frustration, I'm going the entire offseason. I said, hey, I get what you're doing, man. It's not set up for you to win this when you're under team control. If you have agitated enough, maybe you can get a trade and an extension from somebody else, a la DK Metcalf, but the comps aren't particularly good for you. Do what you can, man. You've been really valuable. You've been a great citizen. You've done everything right here. You know, it's the, I hope my sons grow up to be like you, that whole nine, you know, on the whole nine yards. There is a walk away point, though, where you lose me as the ally. He passed that. He and his agent passed that point where my argument then was you are doing detriment to yourself as a player this year where you're under contract and the team that you're under contract for this year. You already owed money. You were not a free agent negotiating with everybody else. You're stuck here. The CBA does not favor you and your agent to win this, and you didn't win. You signed a team-friendly deal really late. Maybe it was to send a message, let them know you weren't satisfied with it, whatever. Everyone sang kumbaya at the end, but they basically got a one-year extension with an out after that. That's not what you were declaring that you were going for. They let the agent Buddy Baker patrol around and go $96 million deal and injure himself, patting himself on the back. And it took one cursory look to go, yeah, it's pretty much a 1 year extension with an out afterwards. My point is, you could have signed that 3 months ago. You could have signed that in August. You know?
I want to hit the phones on this. We have not opened up the phones at all today, first 3+ hours of the show, but this is a good way to touch the people here at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Many of you driving home from work. It's official that Terry McLaurin's not going to play against the Chargers. He's not even making the trip to L.A. To be able to roll him out after another day where he can't practice this early on a Thursday gives me pause about next week. Hopefully he'll be ready. It's just too far to know. How could we possibly have even an educated guess? But in the same way that I told you when they ruled out Jaden Daniels on Friday in his first game missed, that tells you if it's anywhere near close, if you're getting really, really on the precipice of playing, they go into the weekend. They give you every opportunity. They're not doing that with him. They're not even putting him on the plane. They're saying it's better for you to hang back and rest up and recuperate. We're here. We said all summer, what happens if, .. What happens if he gets off to a slow start? That would look terrible. What happens if the guy that doesn't get hurt gets hurt? That would look terrible. First time in 7 years, back-to-back games, he's not available for health. I know it's an easy layup, you know, shouty show take. I get it. It could have not had anything to do with the summer. But things are happening that have never happened before after this. So, yeah, it could be a coincidence. That's what you're telling me, though. You're telling me it is a coincidence that the durable guy who doesn't get hurt got hurt after not doing everything he's previously done to get his body ready. Maybe, but that's what you're telling me. That's what you're asking me to believe. You're asking me to believe it's a complete coincidence that he had his least productive 3 games. Now, I'm not saying it was just on him. They're not throwing him the ball. They're not targeting him. Maybe it's Deebo Samuel's taking over. The offense is going through him. I think any of those variables, by the way, could have something to do with him not having been in practice all the time. They get used to throwing to Deebo. They build more of a rapport with Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff gets comfortable with what the offense looks like in practice. That's what he feels good about. All of these things could have been based on the fact that he wasn't at practice. I hope he's back in week 6. But here's what I know. Washington, in a massive game that they've got to have so that they're not sub-500 through 5 weeks, is going to L.A. this weekend to play the number 2 defense in the National Football League and one of the best pass defenses in the entire sport. And Jaden Daniels, coming back from injury, is not going to be able to throw to Terry McLaurin or Noah Brown. It's going to be the Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane show with a lot of Deebo in motion and hopefully getting some jet runs and end arounds and jet action. I'm being salty, but I'm a little annoyed. That's all. I just need you to do everything you can do when you're my captain, when you're one of the faces of the whole thing. Do everything that you can do so that there's no possible fly in the ointment. So that we can't sit here and speculate. Don't let us speculate. You didn't do that. You gave us the ammunition to speculate. And it was him. It's the guy that never does. It's the best of all of them in terms of the professionalism who did it. That part is so annoying to me.
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking. I mean, when Laremy Tunsil doesn't come to OTAs because he's doing his own thing, I go, I don't love that, but all right, bunch of years as a Pro Bowler, star, I get it. He's going to get a million rest days off. It annoys me a little bit, but all right, the guy's going to produce. But when Marshon Lattimore doesn't come and starts out the year terrible, this hand is up for annoyance. I have an annoying hand. It's going up. Remember when you didn't do everything you possibly could do to get ready for a season? Remember when the excuse was injury last year, and now you're getting toasted like delicious sourdough bread with just enough butter on it to make it go down clean and easy, and I wish I could have some right now because I'm really hungry. I'd love a toasted sourdough bread. But that's you, Marshon. You're toasted sourdough bread, dude. Same deal with Terry. If one of the reasons that you're trying to give to get paid is you do everything possible. Did you do everything possible this year? The answer is no. So that's my annoyance here. And the worst case scenario, so to speak, kind of happened. And whether it's coincidence or not, it did happen.
So give me two numbers. And this is what we'll hit on the phones next. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. What is your frustration with McLaurin over this situation now? And what is your frustration about the whole thing? Because I'm going to say with Terry, it's a 3. With the whole thing, it's like an 8.5.
Terry, 6.5. Whole thing, 8.5.
800-636-1067. McLaurin not going to play again against the Chargers. First time in his entire career, he'll miss back-to-back games via injury. At best, he'll play next week and enter Week 6 of the NFL season with 10 catches. Your level of aggravation after the entire summer went the way that it did. This is The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. Terry McLaurin has been ruled out for Sunday against the Chargers. He is one of a few key players that are not even making the trip to L.A. Adam Schefter just reporting, although I guess the team has also kind of simultaneously put that out, almost like he knew it was coming. This is amazing. But the team is saying that this one wasn't surprising. Sam Cosmi not traveling. His 21-day window just opened, so he's going to get up to speed. Noah Brown and McLaurin, both out. Two of your top three wide receivers. And don't forget, I don't think this is going to mean that this guy doesn't play, but Deebo Samuel has not practiced either of the last 2 days with a heel injury. It's not like he's just resting. They're listing him with a heel. My guess is this is like Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt last week where he's banged up. He'll practice tomorrow, and then he'll play on Sunday. But God willing, I mean, they need him. Can you imagine if they didn't have him? It would be Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, and Danny
and
at
me.
Wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, I've
lost Chris Moore.
Do it decently on Copa. I don't know if I'm ready to route people up, though.
Not yet.
No.
Give you a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
But I just saw a young man waddling around in the hall, and supposedly someone saw him outside. He was trying to grab the newspaper that they threw at the, right in front of the door here
right.
to read the sports section. Chris Russell, ladies
Chris
and gentlemen.
Here.
was in the Navy Yard.
I was making sure that the alleyway is clear to the parking garage, because when I drive my vehicle down here,
so whoever steals your car doesn't have anything to worry about.
it's always loaded up with 18-wheeler trucks, so that you can't get through and can't actually get to your place of employment, and then they steal your car. So I was just making sure everything was nice and clear for you guys when you leave. When Danny, you leave at 6:24 and 30 seconds?
Yeah, whenever the show's over. It's
exactly.
To go.
When is the show over? 6:25? So 6:23, he'll be out the door. I do a long goodbye where I thank our producers.
And I'm like, let's go.
Danny will be in his car by then. He'll hear my last
Danny
word.
Danny will be passing the Pentagon.
Exactly. One of those like three things that shoot up in the air, like my kid calls them little pencils. You know, over by the Pentagon, there's like three things in the air. You know,
the memorial.
Which memorial is that?
The Pentagon 9/11 memorial.
Is that what it is, the 9/11
memorial? I think,
memorial?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
If that's what... Toby's saying it's the Air Force Memorial. I thought it was something more like that, but I could be wrong. I don't know. Right. Regardless, you're going to be passing those when I say that final word. Rini, you just said something. Mm-hmm. I was talking to you during the break.
Yeah.
And this is a take hot enough to burn people. So hopefully Danny has his sunscreen. I want to make it clear, Danny, I don't subscribe to this thinking, but Rini just dropped a little bit of a bomb on me. So without further ado, Slashy.
Yeah.
Give Danny what you think's going on.
I really don't think this is as hot potato as you think it is, but try it on for size, right?
Here we go.
So here's been my argument for the last week and a half or so. I think Terry McLaurin might be, for the first time in his career, listening to the doctors, to specialists, and his body, instead of trying to burn a hole through a brick wall to play and get back on the field. Because, and this is my theory, I don't know this, I'm sure they would deny this, because I think his main stance to get the money that he wanted, or to get the ask that, or something close to that, was, hey, I'm here for every practice, I'm here for every game, I'm Mr. Reliable. And it didn't work. He didn't get rewarded the way he wanted to, or the way he thought he would, or some of the market said he should. And because of that, I now wonder, okay, you didn't take care of me. You didn't reward that. I'm going to listen to the specialists, hence the reason why I'm seeing multiple specialists. I'm going to listen to my body, which is not 100% right. I'm not going to go out there injured and not be able to run routes and for everybody to blow me up on all 22 footage and say that I'm not as fast and I'm not as good and Cliff didn't move me around and this, that, and the other thing. I'm not going to do all that. I'm going to listen to my body. I'm going to listen to the specialists. I'm going to listen to common sense and say, no. I'm not going to burn a hole through a brick wall anymore.
But the allegation succinctly, the Cliff
It's not
notes,
an allegation.
No, but I'm saying.
The theory.
The allegation there
what
is.
What I wondered,
that he's coming back slower based on the standoff with the team. That essentially, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, last year, Terry McLaurin is grinding harder and pushing harder to get back on the field than he would be this year, based on him still being annoyed and frustrated by how they handled him.
That's a pretty big allegation
is a weird word, but that's what you're claiming.
That's what I wonder. I'm not claiming it because I don't know it. But that's what I wonder, and that's what I think about. I will be honest with, and I love Terry. Okay, let me just repeat. I love Terry McLaurin, but that's what I wonder and think about, because think about it, right? I mean, without getting too personal, right? We all get frustrated with our individual work situations, right? That's what an NFL player is.
I love Odyssey very much. In 106.7,
it's one part an Odyssey, but it's also audacious.
It's the honor of my lifetime to be sitting in front of you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well.
On this side of the hall, we love this company.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of things are different on this side of the floor than they are on the other side.
We got chairs and microphones and everything.
I will tell you that. But anyway, my point, and I said to you, I said, look, at some point, I used to work 80, 90, 90, 100 hours a week when I was on the beat. You know, we were going back and forth. You and I were breaking all the stories. We were 7 days a week.
Schefter and rap sheet over here.
I mean, we were beating all of those people. Whoa. We were beating all of them. We were beating everybody. But anyway, the point being is I worked so hard to get let go after 5 years because some douche bucket didn't like me over at Red Zebra Broadcasting, right? And... you know, like CK brought me back and you helped in that. And I've been here for 10 years. And, you know, like I'm not getting rich doing this. I'll tell you that much. Okay,
this is getting real.
But I'm just telling you.
I feel like we're on the couch right now.
So my point is I don't work the same amount of hours as hard as I used to because I know I know it's not going to be valued. I know it's not going to be appreciated in quite the way that I want it to be appreciated. This is not CK or anything like that. This is just the system. This is just the way the business is, the way the world works. My point is I can't put in 90 hours a week and have no return. Terry got a return. He did get a one-year guaranteed extension, but we all know it was nowhere close.
He took a gigantic L.
Right. Nowhere close. So my point is can you still run 110% through a brick wall when you didn't get rewarded what you stood on?
It's a fascinating question because I think what you just said is true, and we've all seen it. We see it with colleagues. We see it with people where over time, the grind, it's just not what it was, right? And it happens. I think it'd be more complacency than anything else, possibly. But
a little bit less animus at my employer who screwed me over.
Exactly. Well, I'm not accusing complacency that Terry doesn't love football. I'm saying because they didn't reward what he stood on, which is my dependability, my durability. I'm here every practice. How many times did we hear that through sources, through Brad Baker, or whatever his name is, through Terry,
Buddy Baker,
whatever.
He said it at Eastern Motors.
Where your job's your credit. He said that.
Right.
It's like, I'm at every practice. All I do is work.
So more than him having 16 combined touchdowns last year in 20 games, including the playoffs, he stood on that, and that didn't get him paid anywhere close to what he wanted. He stood on that. So if you're a human being, at some point you say, okay, that's how you choose to operate. That's how I'll still show up to work. I'll still come to work. I'll still punch the card in and out every day, but I'm not going to go 110%. I might go 95%, but I'm not going to go 110%.
But my question is, and Danny, maybe you weigh in on this. By saying that, isn't the allegation then that, like, there's something in the tank that he's not emptying out? Which I just think is a tough speculation.
Yeah, so the thing you're talking about human nature-wise, the distinction I would draw is, we've all had jobs at varying levels, you know, the lowest on the totem pole, whether it's the highest paid employee at some place, whatever. I've had menial jobs, whatever. But, like, if I wanted to be the highest paid guy, patting myself on the back, telling you how valuable I am, and that didn't happen, I can understand some animus there, but it's still time to be a pro. But if I'm a grunt, if I'm like the part-time dude that comes in here once a month because he's still at University of Maryland or whatever, like at that level, what you're saying would make sense to me, right? Well, you're talking about a guy who would have had to have changed in some way and soured to the point that he's no longer willing basically to put it on the line. For he and his teammates. Well, and I think that's a bridge too far for me.
So I want to be clear. Again, I'm not saying that Terry doesn't care, doesn't love, doesn't have passion for... Not at all. I'm saying, is he listening to his body? All right? Again, think about this, right? If your body is... if your voice... Okay, you do this all the time, right? You come in... I mean, Danny, you're sick all the time, too.
Yes.
But I hear it all the time in your voice. Dude, his voice is not good. He probably shouldn't be doing a radio show. But you don't want to be Wally Pipped. You want to do the radio show.
It's not even that.
You fight through it.
Yeah, I just have a job. I believe in doing your job.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, you do that because you're really good at what you do and you're a professional, and I'm not saying Terry isn't. What I'm saying is, at some point, if you really feel disrespected, which Terry, right? We would all agree that Terry felt really disrespected, right? It's human nature to say, why am I doing this? Why am I going 110%? Why am I sacrificing my future? And why am I putting my body through the ringer when it's not being appreciated? Again, this is not something I know. I want to be clear. This is not something that
something
I say Terry's not good. It's something I thought about. I have no inside knowledge. I'm not trying to pass the buck for anybody. It's just human nature. When you are not appreciated in the way you want to be appreciated, it's very hard to continue to keep just going 110%. Very hard. I'm sorry. It is. It's reality. It's human beings. And Terry's pissed. Or I pissed, strong word. Terry's still, I'm sure, frustrated.
So I just got a tweet from someone.
Oh, boy.
They said, here's a reframe of this. He's finally setting healthy work boundaries.
I mean, does that make sense?
In most of the, most walks of life, yes, but football's different. It just is. You know what I mean?
Like, I
what these guys go through is insane. It's a fraction of like, hey, we had some jocularity in the producer's room that went a little too far. Let's all tone it down and like not smack each other on the tuchus every 7 seconds. This is like, yeah, he pulled something or strained something. Get him a shot of Toradol and let's go play this weekend. Different animal, man.
Right, but at some, and I have no idea exactly medically what's wrong. I mean, it's changed from the hip bone to the hip flexor bone to the, you know, whatever. My point is like, if you normally if this injury happened last year, I believe Terry would have gone gung-ho, gone through it, and maybe he would have missed a game, but maybe he wouldn't have missed two games. Now he's missing two games. Now, I'm not saying he's like doing that to get revenge, but maybe he's saying, look, my body's just not where it needs to be. Whereas last year he would have said, no, man, I can play through this. I'm out there. I got you. Because it was really important to him to show how durable he was, especially when you factor in the age thing.
My only work
analogy...
Again,
this is theory more than...
Of course. And I brought you in because I found it interesting. I don't completely agree with it.
Okay.
And I do think it's a hot take. But I think it's in, like, it's not crazy. What you're saying, actually, from a common sense standpoint, is a real thing, whether this is what he's doing or not. I don't necessarily think so, but I get it. But the work analogy, and sometimes, as Danny said, comparing the football to the other stuff does not work. But what I said was, if we have a bad show and we didn't put in the work beforehand and prep, then I feel differently about that bad show than if we did everything we could before 2 o'clock when the lights came on and then the show stunk. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it is so simple to me. This is a black and white binary thing. Every single year leading up to this, when Terry McLaurin did everything that he could, every step of the way to have a hell of a football season. And this year he didn't. And through 5 weeks, it has been somewhere between a disappointment and a disaster. And so while there's not a direct correlation between me not showing up early enough or me not putting in the work or me not reading the material or watching the game or whatever and the quality of the show, you could do an entertaining, fun, good radio show without doing those things. When I didn't do any of them and the program didn't sound like I wanted, I wear that a little bit more and I'm more introspective. And
understood.
I kind of hope that's going on with him a little bit, that at least he acknowledges, hey, I got 6 years of sample where I did all of these things, and then I played at this level. I got 1 year where I did none of those things, and look at what's happening.
I mean, that's probably more likely of a working theory, but do you honestly believe, do you either one of you guys believe that he's actually thinking that? Like looking in the mirror saying, man, if only I would have shown up at training camp, I would have been off to a better start in the first two games of the year and I wouldn't have gotten hurt.
No, I think even maybe he acknowledges that like privately in his own mind.
Maybe.
But he's going, I didn't have that possibility because it was the only way I could get the money that
I was trying to get. Yeah.
Which, by the way, he didn't get a good deal. That was the other part of this. He had a 1 year extension. That's it.
Well, and the other part of kind of like what I'm talking about, just real quickly, is okay, if he got the 1 year extension, which is what, just beyond this year, right? If he goes out there and he's not 100% and he re-injures it again or makes it worse or is not good, then he might be thinking, this is not a good look. I can't go out back out there until I'm 100%.
Well, speaking of sides of the hall, on this side of the hall, we have to break on time. So we got to go.
There's some enforcement there, too.
Yeah, we hear about it.
Words like oversight come to mind.
What do you know about oversight? Anything? No?
I know about overtime and Tobertime.
Yeah, it's overtime's good. Yeah, I'll see you tonight at the Caps game.
I look very much forward to it. Thanks for the invite.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Chris Russell. Grant and Danny, we'll get to your calls next. Terry McLaurin, out for two games. Rough start to the season. Level of frustration after the summer we had. This is The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. No Terry McLaurin for a second straight week for the Commanders. Asking you your level of frustration with how this has all played out after a summer and a training camp he did not participate in. Three games where he had the lowest catch total he's ever had through three contests, and then he's missed back-to-back games now with an injury. Let's go to Edwin in Silver Spring. What's up, Edwin? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good afternoon. I wanted to respond to a few points that you guys established and make my point that my frustration really is with the GM and it's high with him. You've mentioned that Terry was under contract, but this is the industry where teams cut people who are under contract all the time for nothing else, even just to save more money, or they don't feel like paying the guy that much, as much as they were supposed to pay him. So players have to protect themselves also or pursue new contracts while they're under contract, because that's just that's how the game is played in the industry, you know. Then there was a point established that the contract Terry did sign was not much of a win or an improvement or whatever on his.
Yeah, it was not what he wanted in any way.
Fair, but even if that was the case, the point is they did agree to a deal, right? They eventually, both sides came to sign the contract, and it takes two sides to sign a deal. And Terry's side established that the GM was refusing to even negotiate for long periods of time. So, and you guys made the point that we can only speculate based on the information that we know. The GM, the team, had opportunities to refute this, but they did not. So we have to assume that they indeed refused to negotiate for long periods of time. So this, even if it was a nothing
so
deal.
So just, I don't want to re-legislate a whole summer's worth of back and forth. Your point is there should be some animus toward Adam Peters for letting the whole thing happen.
Yeah, he had a significant role in all this taking place the way it played out. He is. It was his under his control that we only have one deep threat or one style of wide receiver. So we're completely dependent on Terry as well. He could have signed De'Ami Brown or whatever, or pursued somebody else.
So I think that's a very reasonable.
That I think is a great point, by the way. I would not have left the receiver room as he did. So I'm with you on that. Like, counting on Noah Brown to do anything other than what he's doing right now, I think is a fool's errand.
So I have more annoyance toward McLaurin for not showing up and then not performing at the normal level and then being hurt. Not his fault, it just happened. Then I do Adam Peters because McLaurin was under contract for this year. Next year was what they were negotiating for. He chose not to come to work. Now, you referenced you can get cut, and I agree. That's why I'm okay with players generally holding out and going to the end of the earth. I thought he went to the extreme. You don't really see guys do very often what he did. Not come to minicamp, sure. Not show up at camp initially, no problem. I mean, that went on for weeks.
Yeah.
And it affected his readiness for the year he had already agreed to. So that was part of the problem I had there. Also, I would point out that while, yes, Peters is a part of this, there's no doubt about it, 100% true. Well, we'll leave it at that, and I want to keep it going. Reggie in Charlotte, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up, Reggie?
Hey,
how
Reggie.
Are you?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen to y'all every day.
Appreciate you.
Danny, agree with everything you said about annoyance. If I had a blame pie, I would do 90% Terry. I would throw Adam Peters in there with the other 10% because Terry was allowed to pull the stunt of not coming to OTAs or minicamp or training camp because he had a contract negotiation. And now, and Grant, I sent you a message. I appreciate you answering the message right on IG. But Grandma used to say, don't play on people's canes and crutches because pretty soon you're going to need them for real. So you don't play around with injury.
That's funny.
And so he played around with an injury, and he faked the injury, an ankle injury, and the team and the franchise allowed him to do it just to accommodate a contract negotiation and accommodate him not being fined any further than he was fined the first couple of days. And so now that it's come back to bite you, and again, grew up on the Redskins, from Richmond. That's my team, biggest fan. However, you got to call a spade and say life has karma and karma will come back to bite you. And now our best wide receiver is not productive and not there because he missed camp and now he's dealing with injuries. And so you got to be careful. Even though you can do it and negotiate and not come to camp, he had a chance to come to camp even though he was in the negotiation. And you build chemistry, you build cohesion, and you build with your quarterback. So that's the point I wanted to make.
Thanks Reggie.
Appreciate you,
He's
dude.
He's in Charlotte. You can listen wherever you are on the Odyssey app. Let's go to Sam and McLean on Grant and Danny. Terry McLaurin ruled out. First time in 7 seasons he'll miss back-to-back games with an injury. What do you make of it, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I would personally push back on the point that Adam Peters is to blame for any of this. I mean, he signed Deebo Samuels. I think everyone agrees that's a hit. He drafted Jalen Lane. Granted, he's not like the receiver that we thought he would be or hoped he would be coming out, but Luke McCaffrey last year, like he's slowly building. I think people just tend to forget, and it's rightfully so. As fans, we want a Super Bowl every year, but like this is year 2 of a rebuild. He's drafting. He's not overpaying De'Ami Brown. Like Jacksonville gave him way too much money. I could have gone for a Zacchaeus maybe, but like there weren't a lot of other options that they could have gone in free agency or via trade when they already traded for Deebo, and that was a success in my book. And then, yeah, just a slight pushback. I wouldn't blame Terry as much as his agent for a lot of the negotiation tactics that were detrimental to his health and his team's chemistry. I feel like the holdout, the fake trade, wanting a trade that, of course, he didn't actually want, and all of that kind of, you know, BS really was probably more to do with his agent telling him.
I think that's true, Sam. But the only thing is, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. We're up against the clock here. The only thing about that point is he just was reading the agent playbook. Like you have the levers that you could pull, like forcing, asking for a trade, then demanding a trade. I think not showing up for minicamp, not showing up for training camp. He just kind of went through the page 3 of the
step
manual,
7.
Page 4. So that's not new. It was shocking that it was McLaurin for sure. Will Terry get it together here? And do we think there's a big rest of the season coming when he comes back? Can he still salvage this thing? Let's talk about that next. Plus, we'll make our confidence points picks. Look at the schedule for the NFL in week 5 that kicks off tonight. Next on Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.